not. We'll get out just a couple minutes after 8 o'clock, as usual. Over the course of this year so far, we've been looking at some of our different ministries and just showing you some of the reasons behind them or some thoughts with them, with it being our Christian School Awards tonight. I want to look a little bit at why we have a school, or reaching them, teaching them through our school. Why is it important that we have a Christian school? Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." If we really understand the scripture, we understand that the really the success to making it as a Christian, or the success or really the success in being able to stay away from struggling in life, is really found in God's word and our relationship to God's word. God wants us to prosper. Now, we don't understand that word. When we think of prosperity, we think of being rich, having money, having things. That's not what biblical prosperity is. God wants us to prosper in the right areas and in the right ways. And we learn that from Scripture. He also tells us how not to prosper, because there are ways we can prosper in a worldly sense, but yet it's just not right, whether the method we take or the ends we get to. That's why the Bible is really the baseline that everything that God wants to do in our lives or for us. And so that's why it's vitally important that we understand the Scriptures. The psalm here presents two ways of living: the way of blessing, prosperity, and joy, or the way of judgment, a lack of purpose, and defeat. And really, where we end up is our choice. What happens to us is basically based on what choice are we making, what relationship are we having with God's word. As we read, we'll find out that the choice, again, has to do with our relationship to the Scriptures. But remember, if we're going to be prosperous in the way that God wants us to be prosperous, there has to be conditions that are met. We think sometimes, you know, the health and wealth segment of Christianity will say that we can just name it or claim it. We can kind of command God to do for us what we want Him to do, and that's not scriptural at all. When God's wants to bless us in certain areas, there's conditions He wants us to meet. There are things that He wants us to incorporate in our life. Now, when it comes to the path we choose, it's very important that we choose the right path. There are several reasons why. I have them here in your notes. The path we choose determines the type of journey we will take. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word gives us direction not just for today, but also for our future. And so if we live a life detached away from the principles of God's word and doing our own thing, then that direction is going to take us, that choice is going to determine the type of journey we have. Some people have a rough ride in life, and the fact of the matter is, they don't need to. But they are choosing a path that's going to lead them onto a journey that is rocky. Also, the path we choose determines the destination we will reach. Jeremiah 21:7. "And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have set before you the way of life and the way of death." Now, that's a good salvation sermon, but that's not what those verses are necessarily talking about. He was talking to a people that were going to be judged by Babylon, and God said, if you surrender to them and you do what I say, you'll live. But if you fight my will in this area, you will die. And they had to choose, and unfortunately, they chose the wrong path. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter you into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And in a path of salvation, we can either take our own path, you know, works, or trust in the wrong thing, or we can trust in Christ. And that's going to lead us to an eternal destination. But on this earth, the way the choices we make as Christians also determine where we end up. You could look back at your life 10 years from now and say, man, I'm in God's will, and I'm excited about being a Christian. I'm excited where we're at. Or you can look back 10 years from now with regret. You know why? You chose the wrong path. You chose the wrong lifestyle, and it came back to get you. Also, the path we choose determines the type of person we will become. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How? What is the ingredients? What does he need to cleanse his way, to stay pure, to stay right? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. If you live a life and sin is dominating your life and you're paying the consequences for you, it's because you chose that type of life. Okay? Listen, wherever you are as good a Christian as you are choosing to be. Your consequences in life are a result of the choices you made. It's nobody else's fault. Well, when I was younger, my family did this, this, and that. Listen, some of you adults need to grow up and get over that. Okay? They're not dominating you right now. The fact of the matter, we're where we're at because we've made bad choices. So I want us to notice, before we get into the points, one of the a decision that will greatly influence as to which path we will take. It's because here it is. We have to make a decision to reject. A decision to reject. That is what verse 1 is talking about. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This has to do with choosing the path of blessing by rejecting those things that God says we must reject. People call those negatives. They're not negatives. It's only negative if you give into it. The person described here has met the conditions, so God will bless him or prosper him. The reason he's happy is because he is blessed, and because he's blessed because he made the right decisions. People don't like the thou shalt nots of the Bible. People don't like that, you know, what not to do. And they go, oh, you know, that's a list. Okay, call what you want. God lists things. You can't get around that. And there's certain things God lists as, stay away from this. Don't let it be a part of your life. Be careful about that. He gives warnings. Well, I don't like lists. God does. You ever hear the Ten Commandments? That's a list, okay? It's funny. People, you know, some of the best books are books, you know, five steps to this, four steps to this. And people, but when it comes to the Bible, they don't like that. Because those lists aren't fun. But they're there. The negative and the positive go together. Because when you're doing one thing, you won't be doing another. You understand that? So if I'm rejecting the wrong thing, then I'm going to be able to receive the right thing. If I receive the wrong thing, then I'm rejecting the right thing. So a positive and negative, they equal out. Whenever we are making a choice, it means that other choices have been rejected. You ask someone to trust Christ. Listen, they're not adding that on to their Catholicism. They're not adding that on to Islam. They're not adding that on to their Buddhism. They're rejecting Islam. They're rejecting Catholicism, and they're rejecting Buddhism. When you trust Christ, you're rejecting every other path that people think would take you to heaven, but it doesn't. You're willingly saying no to everything over here, and you're saying yes to one thing, complete trust in what Jesus Christ already did for us. When you met your spouse, if you're married and you're on that courtship process, when you got married, you weren't just accepting her, you were rejecting everybody else. Not that there was anybody else waiting for you, okay? like some of us, we put a lot of we broke a lot of hearts. I just be honest. Well, I broke hearts. Thanks for laughing, Chris. You're fired. But what you're saying is, this is the one for me, the only one for me. Everybody else is out of the equation. So we need to reject some things. Spiritually speaking, there are not many paths to blessing. There's only one path, and that's God's path. Many paths may promise prosperity, but they don't deliver. So I thought you were going to talk about the school. Maybe. We'll get there. What does this have to do with our school? Here we go. Because there are negative influences that we can allow in our lives. You know where those negative influences come from? They come from the world by way of Satan to appeal to our flesh. That's where they all come from. There are reasons, as I look at this list, why we have a Christian school. I've said it over and over, and I'd say it a million times, and Brother Chim would probably jump up and down if he had the guts and say amen. If we had our way, we wouldn't have a Christian school. Okay? It's a hassle. It is a pain in the neck. Now, I like having the kids around. Don't get me wrong. I like going to the football game. All that, I enjoy that stuff. I enjoy the kids. But you know, to have to fight all the things, the budgets, and you getting upset because your little bunny foo-foo got demerits. Okay? My kids are all in school. They all got demerits too. Don't worry about it. You know, it's and all of that drama. But we have to. It's vitally important. The brutal fact is that most parents have no clue and have not taken the time to even know the kind of nonsense that is being taught in public education and the kind of negative influences that are taking place. You don't. Someone just talked to Brother Chim. They're going to put their kids in school next year. They were talking about some of the things that are taught behind this pulpit for the last 20 years. And they're like, I didn't realize that was happening in the school. Here's what I have to say. Duh. I could tell you stuff when I was in school 15 years ago. Two. Okay? And brother, that was a little while back. It's not gotten better. We are responsible as parents to the kind of education that our children receive. So what are three thoughts from these verses that we're going to apply to our school over the next 15 minutes and we'll be done? We might be done a few minutes early. Who knows? First of all, living by godless counsel. Living by godless counsel. That is mental influence. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel means advice or giving advice on purpose. In other words, on purpose in life. Telling you how you should live your life. What is the right way to make decisions? What is the right way to go? Ungodly means morally wrong. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not. He does not live his life in the counsel of those who may not live morally wrong, but what they're teaching is opposed to the morals of Scripture. They're ungodly. And here they are influencing the children of our country. And fact of the matter is, if you looked at Christianity nationwide, the vast majority of Christians' children go to these public schools. Okay? We are not to live our life based on the advice or counsel of the morally wrong or sinful individual. We're not. Therefore, we should not place ourselves under their counsel or teaching. And by the way, I'm not getting on a teacher in a public school or whatever it is, because if they're unsaved, they're unsaved. That's who they are. They don't know any better. They're just, what is being told on CNN or the Communist News Network or LSD, whatever, all those things. What's the world pushing? Well, what are we hearing out there? What's popular? Sad thing is, it's creeping into Christian churches now. I don't want to go into that. I ain't got time for that. There is a difference. Now listen to this. This is important. You say, but Pastor Marsh, you cannot escape all that. That's true. You may work somewhere and someone at work throws something out and it's like, that's ridiculous philosophy and you could walk away from it. There's a difference between, you know, you're living your life and in the course of your life, you hear that from somebody and it's like, they're unsaved, they're ridiculous, I get it. There's a huge difference between hearing something that is wrong from someone whose morals don't line up with God's truth because of the course of your life, and here's the key, and purposely placing ourselves under their teaching and counsel. If I put myself in their class and I sit down, I am consenting to them to teach me garbage. Well, you know, we know the scripture, we know better. Not after you hear it over and over and over. And the younger they are, the more impressionable they are. And then they start thinking, that Bible's just a weird book. Or they hear someone say, you're either born a man or you're born a girl. And they're like, you're just weird. Where's that coming from? Replacing themselves. I'll listen to, when I come in the morning, I'll have the sports radio on. Sometimes they're talking, and they want to get off on life advice. I'm done with them. Boom. The radio's going to a different station. You didn't give me life advice. I wonder who won the game last night. Okay? And it wasn't the Bruins. Praise God. Sorry, that was for Pastor Grandy. Are you choked up about that? Get over it. I'm not going to place myself and sit there. Do we really want to be exposed to the counsel ungodly that is put forth in our school classrooms? I'll just mention a few things, and I mentioned over and over, and I think I went off on a little bit of a tangent on Sunday night. There is no difference between a boy and a girl. Really? Are you serious? We figure that out early in life. You can't tell me that even the people that get up and say that, I guarantee you the majority of them don't really believe it. They just don't have the guts to stand up against it. You don't have to have an IQ past a brick to understand that you're either a boy or a girl, and it ain't changing. But the public school system tells you it is, especially this month, that they can use the same restroom. I haven't been to Target in 3 years. And you go to Target, that's fine. I'm not saying you're sinful. But they're the first company to come out and say, we don't care what the law is. You can use whatever restroom you feel like. Not if you're a guy dressed as a girl. I'm talking about you could be a motorcycle with tattoos on your forehead and you can walk into a girl's bathroom and they can't say a thing. And they wonder why there's been attempted rapes at Target and there's been other things like that. But our whole society's going there. I told you, we were in Seattle about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It's not a brewery, it's a coffee shop. They have a roastery. They have one that's a special Starbucks, and it's a big roastery, and it's a really nice place. And I walked in there, and we got some coffee, and I was leaving. I'm like, I got to use the restroom. And I kid you not, I walked there. They had one door to the restroom. It said unisex. I looked inside there, all the stalls. Here's men and women in the same room using the bathroom. I'm like, I'm good. I don't mean to be crude. I'll use a bush. I'm not going in that bathroom. I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. I shouldn't have said, that was bad. Hey, quiet. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play judge here. Usher, strike that from the record. That was really bad. I think you get the concept. That blew me. You know, our children, if they go to school and they show that they're conservative or biblically based, they're going to be shot at. Love can come in any form. Boys with boys. Girls with girls. Now, I'm telling you, and we could have told you this 6 years ago, and it's been true, it didn't end with the marriage issue. Now it was transgenderism. Now it's all this. Now it's like non-binary. I could wake up tomorrow, I'm a girl. You know? Look, if you're applying for a job, say, now, what nationality do you have to hire? You know, we're short on our quota of Mexican. I'm Mexican. I identify. Yeah. But you know what the next thing is now? It's age restrictions. I think I mentioned that Sunday night. By the way, you know what the new thing in the schools are? The boys who are athletes and they can't just cut it and they're not winning, now I'm a girl, and they'll go compete in the girls and they're dominating sports everywhere. Are we sick or what? You know, I'm waiting for an NBA player that's no good to say, I'm a girl, and start playing in the WNBA. We'll see how that flies. Most of those girls look like guys anyhow, so there you go. I shouldn't have said that. Let me back up. I don't regret that. Okay, if you want to be all tatted up and act like an animal, like whatever, there's someone else's problem. Boys are prom queens. Yeah, and then we evolve from animals, and we wonder why the kids act like animals. Free morals. By the way, I'm telling you, you say you're a Neanderthal. Well, thank you. Why don't you study this? Because in California now, they're starting sex ed and transgenderism teaching and homosexuality in kindergarten. I didn't know that. You might want to study if you have children. You're responsible. Okay, well, they go to church, and we'll get to that in a minute. And anyhow, we could go on and on and on. If we choose this influence, we'll eventually choose to live our life based on the advice of those who are ungodly. Point one's a lot longer than the other, so don't freak out here. There are choices in life from Romans chapter 12. In verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here's the choices. We are supposed to present ourselves and serve our Lord. The other choice is conforming to this world and rejecting his will. So how do we choose that? Which of these we choose is determined by what is being put into our mind. There you go. Be ye transformed by what? If you put good stuff in, what's going to come out? All right, let's back it up a notch. If you put bad stuff in, what's going to come out? You know, my child goes to a charter school. That just means the buildings are newer. But the curriculum is still garbage. I'm just going to tell you. We got to be very, very careful here, people. We must be careful what we allow our children to be taught. They're getting counsel. It can be active counsel. That's where someone's teaching. It can be passive counsel, the pressure because of the teaching we're under. Now, you should memorize this. This is not, I mentioned it several times over the last couple months, but you need to get this. It's not original with me. We can't send our kids to Caesar's institutions and not expect them to live like Romans. And I know people, family members, sent their kids off to some university, come back and wonder why they're rejecting God. They're involved in Planned Parenthood, all this garbage. It's like, what happened? We took them to church. Brother, how many hours a week are you in church? How many hours a week are you in a Caesar's institution? Who's going to win that battle? Caesar's going to get it. So that's the biggest part. Number two, they're lounging with godless companions. It's their influence of their physical companions. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. This is the people that we spend our time with. They're friends. I know this. If I'm in the wrong place, I'm going to have the wrong friends. I just am. I'm sorry. They're going to be one of the biggest influences in a teenager's life, a child's life, especially as they get a little older, their peers. Peer pressure. You imagine the peer pressure when you're going to school and you're walking around and guys are dressed like girls, girls like guys, you're being told that life doesn't, you came from a monkey. How do you know? Maybe you're really a girl in a boy's body. I mean, they're advertising. Then they're friends. Oh, come on. Oh, I think a guy. Oh, come on. What's wrong with you? Standeth. That's who we're before. The way is our journey or manner. We're going to start living based on our peers. Larry Brown said this. You are or soon will be what your friends are. And that's it. Look, when I was in high school, my friends weren't pushing me to church. We didn't talk about Jesus. Jesus was talked about very little. In fact, the whole time I was in high school, now, to be granted, I didn't go very much, but the times I was there, I met one kid that confessed to me he was a Christian. The pastor was already out when I was in. Pastor Esposito. We were playing tennis during PE, and it was a real nice guy, and we took the tennis. That was what we chose at the time. We were playing tennis, and afterwards, I think he was going to try to witness to me. He goes, it was right before Christmas break, and he goes, that was fun, wasn't it? I'm like, yeah, man, we had a good time today. That was great, especially when he fell over the net. That was a blast. And then he goes, you know, look, I became a Christian. He goes, and you can have fun without doing all the crazy stuff. And I was like, okay. Now, unfortunately, it was very sad. Over the Christmas break, he was in a motorcycle accident and died. Remember, he was a Christian. But he got saved. That was the only one. But they weren't pushing me to the Bible. They're going to get the wrong kind of friend. And then lastly, learning from critics. Spiritual influence. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Sitting is a position of willful learning from another. Scornful, those who are critical of God and spiritual things. Now, there are some Christian teachers in our public school system. Remember the Fries at the old church? I think he was a vice principal, and he loved our church. He was a Christian. But he was frustrated. They tried to influence, and they did the best they could. Good people doing what they can. But the majority of them are not Christian. So what are they going to say? They're going to say non-Christian things. By the way, you can take anything to school but a Bible. I could take a Quran if I don't go to school, but if I did. You know, what's more likely to get into the school, drugs or a Bible? Probably drugs. Okay? That's on purpose. There's a plan behind that. What am I saying? All the principles here are true for Christians of all ages, but especially those who are innocent and must be shielded. Like I mentioned earlier, if we place our kids under this type of teaching, or we purposely do it, the church can never undo in a few hours all the junk that is put in their minds. We just can't. Not going to happen. What do we need to do? We need to protect them. Look at Romans 6:16-18. For your obedience is come abroad unto men, all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but I would have you, here we go, wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You know what God does? He doesn't want you to know about evil. Everything that's promoted in our society, our public schools, all that stuff. But he wants us to be wise unto good. You know, there's a difference between wisdom and education. We think, our society thinks education, and I'm not against education, okay? But we think it's the end all. I just want them to get this degree from this school. What if they can get that degree and they ought to, by the way, you should, I'm not going to go into it, I could go all night. You should see some of the classes they give credit for. You know, white supremacism, toxic masculinity. I'm all for that. There's no such thing as toxic masculinity. You know what toxic masculinity is? A guy that carries a purse or wears a dress, that's toxic. And it's not very masculine. Okay? Just being a man, look, I don't want to see Jason playing with a doll. And Jason wouldn't play with a doll, okay? You know, boy. You know what boys do? They grab trucks and go, brrr. Girls get the doll. Boy grabs the ball and says, hey, the arm comes off. Look at that. That's how it ought to be, okay? But we ought to be very, very careful. Be thankful we have a Christian school, because what you need is you need to keep your children out of a place that's teaching them garbage, and they need to be in a place where someone is pushing something spiritual and keeping an eye on them spiritually. Very important. Let's pray.